Power Project family, how's it going? This episode is brought to you by Vivo Barefoot Shoes. Now, we've been wearing Vivos for almost a year now, but the great thing about Vivos, unlike normal shoes where you put your foot into these casts that aren't mobile, they have a small toe box, and they're very dense, is that you're putting your foot into a cast. You're weakening your feet. You don't feel the ground in normal shoes. The great thing about Vivos is they're extremely flexible. They have a wide toe box. They are made to help strengthen your feet. One thing I want to mention here is that when you grab some Vivos, you may tell yourself, these are uncomfortable or these hurt. That's because your feet are weak. And as you wear these shoes, they'll start to get stronger. They'll start to feel the ground. They're good for the health of your feet. Andrew?
Yeah, absolutely. So me personally, it took me about 2 weeks to really be able to be like, okay, I think I'm getting it. Now I do not wear any other type of shoes. I only wear Vivo Barefoot shoes. You guys have to do this for your feet. Head over to vivobarefoot.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT to save 20% off your entire order. Again, vivobarefoot.com. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
What?
They see me rolling.
Andrew, what's been going on with some of the, give us some updates on your stretching and some of your goatedness and some of your back stuff. What's been going on, dude?
Yeah. So before we did the sprinting stuff with barefoot sprinter Graham Tuttle, I was doing I was doing really good. I was very consistent, and then after that, my Achilles was doing it was pretty bad. Like, so when I do my wall work, I'll have to be on my toes. thank you. I'll be on my toes with them pointing forward, and then I'll flow into them being with my heels out, toes in, and that would absolutely crush me. Like, it was very painful.
So on your Achilles?
Yes, on my right Achilles. So, is it an Achilles? mm-hmm. And so that, like, it bummed me out. So I'd be like, okay, maybe I'll just do the first part of it. And then I'll just do the groundwork. And then that turned into like, I'm just going to do the groundwork. And then that turned into like, I'm going to do one round. And then like, I slowly had to like, dude, don't be a bitch. Like, you help me with like the slingshot, band called? I don't know. It's
like utility band?
Utility band.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wrapped your leg up and did some of that.
That felt incredible.
Compression.
Like, I literally felt that like in my whole body. Like, I felt it all the way up to my shoulders. It was wild.
I wrapped Andrew's calf/shin and then I, because of the utility band, it has like a rubber component to it, like a hip circle, kind of like a grippy hip circle. Mm-hmm. And I had it on the rubber side was out. So that way I had grip. And then like once I wrapped him up, I then just kind of torqued his shin and knee or shin and calf like inward and outward back and forth, which feels amazing because it's really weird. But that part of your leg, our like lower leg, it ends up like facing the wrong way. And it's odd if you can manipulate it and turn it. Like, you can even try to do it to yourself sometimes. You can just grab your own like calf and shin. And if you try to like turn it inward and turn it outward, you'll feel that. And it's like, what the hell? Why is my leg like facing the wrong way all the time? It's odd.
Yeah. So I have I think it's called the infinity loop. Mm-hmm. It's the one that has like the multiple holes in. Okay. So that's what I have at home. And so like, I tried to mimic that and it did okay. Like, I was able to kind of get in there and work it out. And so then that allowed me to kind of get back to it. So I was going pretty hard every morning and night. I was doing 5 rounds. Now, 5 rounds for me, especially the first like 2, even 3, take a while. So it takes me almost like an hour to get this done every morning and night. So you can imagine once you're like, fuck, I feel pretty good after 4. Damn, it's already been 45 minutes. Like, I'm just going to go to bed or I'm going to get my day started now. And then it's like, well, I feel pretty good after 3, you know? And then so like it's basically like I have this program. And if you could equate it to like what you do in the gym, you're just like, dude, that was a pretty hard workout. I don't really need to do the accessories. Like, I already did my main movements. And then you kind of sneak out of the gym a little early. So I was having that like issue with it, right?
Because you're doing extra stuff and then it's kind of pulling away from some of the stuff that you liked doing previously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so like right now I've only had time to do groundwork from Gota. And so it's like, okay. And then, so I'm doing that. And then now I add a little minor tweak to it. So then like it just got a little bit harder to do, but what happens?
Wait, what did you add to it?
It added like my Achilles, like, hurting. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay. But I started noticing, like, oh man, my knee's kind of cracking a lot more now. Like, damn it, like, what's going on? It's like, obviously, because I'm not moving, I'm not doing the stuff that I'm supposed to do. So getting back to it, so like this morning, you know, I woke up early, I got all five rounds in, I feel fantastic. But one thing, what I was telling NSEMA, you know, because so my back's been feeling great, so I'm feeling like way better. When we ran, I didn't feel any pain. I can see the light, you know, like it's coming. Like I'm going to be pain free very soon here, to where I wake up every day and I'm not in pain. But after talking to JL, you know, what JL told me off air, he was just like, if somebody has all the tools and all the instruction on how to fix something and they don't do it, it's a mental thing. It's no longer a physical thing at that point, because you have everything you need, but you're not doing it. It's like, okay, trying to hold back tears in front of this fucking monster, you know, just like, oh my gosh. When Graham was here, you know, before the podcast, he's massaging, he's doing all these things. He's like, dude, I can see it. Like, you're wearing it. He's like, this is like, not your identity, but he's like, you know, the way you're like, you're hunched over, you're like, you know, you're wearing it. He's like, also said it's like a mental thing, right? So what I was telling NSEMA, like, there's times where like, I'm completely out asleep in bed, but I hear my son rolling over and I'm like, oh no, he's going to fall off the bed. I'll jump out of bed and ready to catch him. Like, oh, I've said in the past, the worst part of my day is getting out of bed because it's so painful. Yet here I am fucking leaping out of bed because I'm worried about my son or worried about my dog, like about to like pee on the carpet or something. I'll jump out of bed for that shit and not have any pain. And then, so like, I'll sit there in the morning and I'll just think about those things and be like, dude, your back doesn't even hurt. Like, you're fine. Like, you have proof. Like, remember the other night when you got out of bed and it didn't hurt at all? Yeah, okay. So I'll just tell myself, like, dude, your back doesn't even hurt anymore. And I'll get out of bed and my back doesn't hurt at all, which is fucking weird to like even say that. It's like embarrassing, right? Because here I am, years of back pain, and all I had to do was just tell myself my back didn't hurt. Like, hold on. So like, it's embarrassing to say that out loud, because a lot of people are going to talk shit. I don't really care, but there are times where like, I'll remember like, oh, if I'm standing up and I have to get, you know, this bottle, like, oh, this is going to hurt. I got to brace myself. And I'll do it. And I'm like, oh, yep, it hurt. Like, wait, you fucking idiot. Like, I'll literally rewind and be like, that's not going to hurt. And I'll reach down again and it doesn't hurt. I can't explain it. I know it's in conjunction with what I'm doing with Gota, because before that, I didn't have any positive feedback coming in to be like, wow, that did help. I'll still wake up stiff and I'll be like, oh, like it's, like this morning was kind of like, like, man, I don't know, I slept wrong, something weird. I'll do my groundwork, I'll do my wall work, and I feel great again. So it's absolutely working for me. And it's just perfect timing of everything to have two people that, you know, made a very bold, not bold, but big statement. And Seema's over here doing some air squats.
Some squats.
I just need to try this.
I'm excited to talk about those, but it's just perfect timing to have.
You hear that?
I did hear that.
Man, that was tight.
To have Gary Scheffler working with me, have JL, have Graham both tell me about the mental side of things. All of it just kind of happening all at once. And then, yeah, dude. So like, it's kind of amazing. Like, I'm already contacting certain people, like the, like, somebody that has a contact with Waza to be like, hey, dude, like, I don't want to be one of those guys that says, when this, I'll do that. I'm like, but my back's getting better. I'm like, once I'm ready, like, I'm definitely going to go give it a shot, because.
And Waza's jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's a jiu-jitsu school.
Jiu-jitsu school in Elk Grove in my hood. So yeah,
good school.
I'm already school. Like preparing for not being in pain and being able to handle this shit.
Yeah.
So that's, oh, you got blocked. Oh,
that was bullshit.
That was bullshit. In. Dude, that was goaltending. No, that was goaltending for real.
That was illegal.
That totally counts.
Keep going, dude.
That's goaltending.
Bro, I gave you the score.
Yeah.
It
counts, dude. It nope. Wow. If this was NBA Jam, that big fucking wah, 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 goaltending, dude, sign would come out.
Okay, fucking trash guys, can's a hater.
You guys are starting to hurt my feelings. So
I'm just saying,
Andrew,
dude.
You just continue on. You're going to do jiu-jitsu soon.
The thing that you hit is in the trash can, and then it jumped out. Like, that's that.
Yeah, now it's not in there. It's on the ground.
But the thing that was in there is in there, but the thing that you shot is no longer.
Yeah.
But so what I'm getting at is, like, I'm preparing to be completely out of pain. I've never, ever even considered what that would feel like. Whereas now it's just like, yeah, dude, it's happening. Like, it's like we're already kind of there. The stuff that we worked on the gym before we got on air, you know, there's still some way like imbalances and twisting of the hips and all this stuff is still like, ooh, like I felt that, but we're okay. You know, not a big deal. And also how I interpret those tweaks.
Like,
but,
what? Like what?
Like I would bend down to get something and be like, oh, fuck, I hurt my back. I'm going to feel this way for the next 2-3 weeks. Mm. Now, if I do some shit, like, dude, I was holding my son. So I was walking in the backyard. We have like this little small step, like the size of a brick. Anybody with back pain will know exactly what I'm talking about. My left foot slipped. So the side that I'm holding him on, knee was pretty much locked out. It slipped off. Boom. All my weight landed straight on my left heel. All that force just went shot
straight
up.
It's like when you don't know there's like an extra step kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You like all of a sudden feel 4 inches shorter. You're like, what the fuck happened to me just now?
Dude, before working on my mind, working on my body, that would have put me out for like 2 months at least, because I would have been like, oh, I'm fucked. Like, I got to take care of it. Like, I got to move slow. I got to make sure I don't aggravate it more. Now it's like, oh, damn, I felt that. Like, that'll be gone by, you know, next couple hours, though. And sure enough, dude, I was good. I was on the ground rolling with him, playing with him, and it was like not an issue at all.
Dude, you know, with what you're saying, number one, I really want to understand from you personally the difference, because you mentioned like you're now perceiving things differently. Mm-hmm. You know, like it seems that instead of being more super careful, you are now, things happen and you're like, ah, no, it's going to be fine. Oh, no, my back's going to be good. Like you're now more on offense. What you're saying is really interesting, because you guys know we've had all these different types of guests on, and there's a guy named Nadi Aguilar, mm-hmm. From Functional Patterns, who we've been seeing a lot of his stuff. We love the stuff that he's
doing.
Check
out some of the stuff on Instagram. It will blow your mind.
Please, mm-hmm. really look at it, because this guy is getting individuals who have fucking cerebral palsy. He's getting individuals who have literal movement dysfunction because of certain sicknesses they have, and he's getting them moving again because he's helping them to be able to have their whole body work together. But I was going back to him in the voice messages. I had a few questions for him about something, but he said something that I was like, that is really, really cool. He says, he was mentioning how not only is he trying to change people in terms of the way they move with his system within Functional Patterns, but he's trying to change the way that people, their habits going through life. He's trying to get people from being less on being in the defensive, and he's trying to get them to be more on the, like, to get them to start, like, it, instead of the mind being on the defensive, you're being on the offensive. You're now going for things. You now perceive things differently. And he mentioned it in a much deeper way. Nadi, if one of the Functional Patterns people sends this to you, I have butchered what you said. Mm-hmm. But the behavior aspect of things, the true trying to change your behavior of which you go through life, that will change the behavior of, like, Andrew, the way you're looking at the things that are going on with your back, the way you're looking at what happened to your Achilles. Mm-hmm. Before, that would have been something that may have literally crippled you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, you'd have been like, oh, fuck, I can't, you know? Even myself with injuries in the past, with the way I've looked at it, it could be something that stops you from taking action. But he also, along with his system, which he's doing such amazing stuff, he's really trying to change the way that people perceive things and their belief about things. And if there's anything we know with all the conversations we've been having about the way that people believe certain things and believe how they work and the way that you perceive things happening to you, that is a big part of the equation.
Yeah. And if you're walking into a gym and you see someone that's 75 years old running down the turf, and you're, getting some help from some of these people that do these functional movements, whether it's Goda or Nadi Aguilar, that's his name, right?
Yeah, Nadi Aguilar.
Whether it's him, and you're seeing that, like, somebody's having positive results, you're going to have a better belief system in yourself. You're going to be like, oh. And somebody, they might say, like, oh, this guy has, like, 2 herniated discs. He's, like, running down the turf. Now you're more open-minded. You're like, oh, they helped that guy. Like, they mm-hmm. might, can probably help me. Maybe you have a different circumstance. But I think that we really hold on to our beliefs, and we get so tight with our beliefs that they they kind of kill parts of us off, I think. You know, it's like a deadly trap.
Yes.
Because you put like a period at the end of that sentence. I'm a powerlifter, period. And then that means that for some reason, because I'm a powerlifter, that means I can't be athletic anymore. And that means all these other things. And it's like, doesn't necessarily have to mean any of those things. You can still be open-minded towards other things. Are there powerlifters that go through a great powerlifting career that break records and still have athleticism? Sure. There's been many. There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think we have to kind of just reevaluate the way that we kind of think about things. And when it comes to injury, the belief system is so strong that you might be kind of walking around a particular way, and you might not even notice that you don't have pain anymore. You might not even notice that you don't need to limp anymore. But you've been limping for a long time. Your stride on that side shortened up. Like for me, my left hip has been in pain since like 2008. It's been tight. It doesn't really hurt a lot, but it's something that I kind of felt like I'm not sure if I know the tools to like cure this. So I just kind of left it alone. That was always for me with injuries, that has actually worked pretty well in the past, was to like not completely ignore stuff. I would address things and I would kind of attack things and make sure they got like well enough for me to go back and do some of the things that I wanted to do. But I never attacked everything on like a much larger, broader scale where I'm looking at it like, not only should I be able to like squat, okay, I should be able to sprint. I should be able to box jump. I should be able to come in here into the gym and do whatever the fuck I want. I should be able to gain access not only to what I could do when I was 18, but why not? When I was 18, I was pretty athletic. I was pretty fast. But can I be faster than that? Fuck yeah, I think I can be. Mm-hmm. Because now I have information. I have information I never had before. And like I'm starting to feel a lot better. My hip is getting better. It's actually been really fucking slow. And maybe that's because I still don't have some of the right information, but it is getting better. Like everything's opening up. I'm able to do so much more stuff now than I've been able to do really than I can even ever remember.
Yeah, that belief system. So in Stuart McGill's Back Mechanic, he mentions like, hey, like if you're in pain right now, just know it's not going to be for very long because once we hit a certain age, we should hear about a fuck ton of old dudes talking about back pain, but you don't hear about it because you hit a certain age and all of a sudden it just disappears and they can't explain why. It's like, well, I started thinking about that. It's like, well, do old people give a fuck about anything? They're just like, no, I'm trying to get my prime rib and I want to watch my shitty ass TV shows or whatever. Like I'm bullshitting, but like they don't really care anymore. And it's like with them not giving any fucks, they all of a sudden just stop caring about their back, and then magically happens, their back pain goes away. And it's like, dude, holy shit. Like again, not saying anything wrong about like what was written in that book, but it's like I wish there was something about like that belief system in this book, but it's not that type of book. But it hit me when I was thinking about that the other day, because somebody was talking about their back hurting, and you know, that thought came to me, and it's just like, dude, yeah, it's probably happens because they just, their belief changes. They stop worrying about it. And that's kind of what's been happening with me. It's like, I was in the gym earlier, and I don't know if even you guys saw it, but I put this down on that box, the one that moved it. Yeah. Okay. So I put it down once, and I did it like I normally do, which is I put my hand on my thigh and I get into the shortstop position, which is what Stuart McGill teaches to not put any pain on your back. So I'll demonstrate in a minute. I did that and it started to hurt. I'm like, no, fuck you. Like I stood up and I'm like, this doesn't even hurt. And I put it down and it didn't hurt. It's just, it's the dumbest thing ever. And I know people are hearing that and they're just like, no, dude, like not my back. Trust me, man, over 10 years of having back pain. And it's like I said, it's part of it is because I'm doing it through two different methods. I'm doing the physical side and I'm working on the mental side. It's fucking wild. I need to make sure I write all this shit down because like this stuff is incredible.
People that might not be able to relate from a physical standpoint can certainly relate on an emotional standpoint. People do the same thing with their emotions. Oh, this same thing's happened to me again. So I have to respond this way. I have to Will Smith the situation.
You almost spit.
you don't have to respond. You know, it's up to you to decide how you want to respond to stuff. And the deeper that you go into these things, you recognize, oh, well, I can even cut the emotion off before it ever becomes like a thing that is going to like poison the rest of my body. You know, just because I heard that someone died or just because I heard something doesn't mean I have to get all poisonous about it and all crazy about it. I can attach whatever emotion I want to that, and I can just say, oh, that's interesting, or that's fascinating. Oh, I wonder why that person did that, or I wonder why that happened, or that, oh, man, like so-and-so died. You have any more information? Like how did they pass? You know, and you can kind of think about it that way, but you don't always have to these things that are happening to us in our day-to-day lives, you know, whether it's your back is hurting or whether you have some sort of emotional pain, just because something else, just because you got into like a new relationship, it doesn't mean that same pain from previous relationship is going to happen again because your girlfriend, your wife, whomever, went out of town for, you know, 2 weeks with their girlfriends or something. It doesn't mean that that person's going to cheat on you again. It doesn't mean any of those things. You're in a different circumstance. And if you hold on to that previous belief, you're going to be held in some misery. You're going to have a lot of pain. That's where pain comes from. And with going to some like Kelly Starrett seminars and stuff, some of the stuff that guy shows is like, it's really like unbelievable. But the human body is so intelligent and so smart that when you have an injury, and I think that this is what a lot of these functional movement pattern people are getting at, that we're hearing more and more stuff from them in the last year or so. And it's going to be like a revolution is coming in fitness. Like this is like another, like there's these kind of waves. Like there was kind of like the Louis Simmons, Dave Tate. There was like Elite FTS. There was T-Nation. There was all these, you know, all these things, right? And then for a long time, there wasn't really much of anything except for like fitness was kind of booming. But these functional movement pattern things, these are here to stay, and they're going to stick around for a while, and they're only going to improve, and they're going to continue to get better. And the reason why is that when I went to a Kelly Starrett seminar years ago, he had somebody take their socks and shoes off, and he kind of held, he had them on their back, and he held the person's kind of like foot up. And he said, he's like, okay, he's like, you know, what is this? And someone's like, I don't know, the ankle. And then he pointed to like the heel, and they're like, well, he's like, what is this? He's like, a heel. And he goes, well, what is this thing right here? And everyone, like, there's people in the audience that are doctors. There's people in the audience that like are learning from Kelly Starrett because he's one of the best PT practitioners that there is, right? And so no one could answer like what this thing was. It's a fucking calcium deposit. Like the body decided, because these tissues are so stiff and these tissues are so damaged and they're so gross or whatever, however you want to put it, that the body decided to make like a little thing of beef jerky right there and lay down some new tissue.
Damn.
Starrett is like, dude, this does not belong here. This is like your fucking foot decided to make an extra bone. Like no one, like other people have it. You're going to notice like we'll pop shoes and socks off other people. And sure enough, they're going to have the same thing. But it's not normal. It's because we're not walking correctly. Our feet aren't in shoes that are proper. The shoes are kind of weakening our feet. We're stuffing our feet into things. We're sitting in chairs too much. We're not walking enough. We're not exercising enough. And all these different things are happening. So it was just really fascinating. So somebody might think, okay, well, let's rub that area. Let's figure out how do we get that cord? How do we get that Achilles to heal? Okay, I'm going to stretch the calf. I'm going to stretch the foot. And some of these things make sense. But no. It doesn't end there. That's only like, that's not a bad place to start with some of this. But you're better off zooming way out. And you're better off zooming way out and deciding like, let's try to work on the entire body. And let's fix how we stand. Let's fix how we walk. Let's make sure we're hydrated. Let's make sure we're getting enough sleep. Let's make sure we're recovering from our workouts.
Don't sit as often.
And when you're about to try something new, like running barefoot and stuff like that, you got to be super cautious, especially I don't want to tangle people up with their mindset, but as we are older, our tissues can get stiffer. And so if you haven't been rigorously doing stuff to keep your tissues opened up and to keep your tissues safe and healthy, then when you go to run, which I've been encouraging people to run, you should run like a pussy. Run very lightly and run very little. Like, how much running is a lot more running than you used to do? Well, if you haven't run and you just ran for 5 minutes straight, that's a lot of fucking running. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far you went in 5 minutes, but that's a lot of fucking running. That's probably all you should do for the day. So you got to be really cautious going into some of these new things. But we also, in general, it's important to kind of zoom out and look at the body as an entire system and not just look at this extra bone that's hanging off the side of your foot.
Yo, there's a lot there, but looking at the body as a whole system, I think that's one really cool thing that Nadi does do in his system with functional patterns. There's a lot of movement, movements with load and locomotion while moving, right? Like, we were doing some stuff just fucking with a cable mm-hmm. in the gym, and yeah, it's not the same cable as he was working with, but doing some of those movements, you're like, wow, okay, you're doing this, you're moving this weight through space, your obliques are firing, your legs are having to stabilize, everything is working together, which is why you can understand when you see him take people that like have been able to move well, or, you know, they're having all this crazy dysfunction, he's teaching them literally how to move their whole body with loads, which is really cool. One of the things that I was having a conversation with him, and I was just curious because, like, you know, he's been, you know, we've had Ben Patrick on the podcast and other people, and he's been quite critical, to say the least, of of Ben and other practitioners. And it's because he has such a strong belief in what he's doing that he number one, doesn't believe that these systems are fully equipped to deal with every or all the situations that you know, you need to deal with in fitness, but he believes that they're doing it in a poor fashion. And I respect that. But, you know, the way that I look at a lot of this stuff within fitness is I believe in more types of addition than pure subtraction. And if you do subtract something, I some things are just stupid, right? There are some things in fitness we've seen where we're just oh, I don't think I would ever do that. But there are also certain things where I'm just like, I can understand its place. It's not for everybody, but I can understand its place. I'm not one who, I don't like to totally say this is bullshit, this is whatever, unless it's truly irresponsible. And he's going in on some folks. He's going in on some folks. But it cannot be denied that he's going in, because his stuff is pretty fucking cool. So it's going to be really cool for whenever he does get here to be able to talk with him. And you guys should definitely check out what he's doing with that stuff and figure out, like, that paraball that he has. Mm-hmm. I want that really bad. That's cool. Because, like, if you – I don't know if you could pull it up, Andrew. Go to the paraball. Yeah. Like –
And this is like that's a pretty old tool, I'm pretty sure. Like, that's just on a rope, right?
It's on a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been around for a while.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't know why. I've seen the thing that you – actually, I've seen Elliot Hulse using before. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. So that does exist. That does exist. I guess I've been seeing it – since I've been paying attention to it, I've only been seeing it from his stuff. But look at the type of movement, like the way you have to move – And your body has to counter that weight as it's going. Mm-hmm. So you're having to counter different forces and move fluidly through space. Like, that is just good movement.
Here's the kind of shit this guy is saying. So Nadi has some really amazing stuff. Like, one, he's talking about, like, your neck, like when you, you know, text neck. Everyone's talking about text neck.
Yeah.
People are talking about how long you're on your phone and stuff. He's like, your neck should totally have the capacity to be on your phone for as long as you want. Mm-hmm. Like, why doesn't it have the capacity just to hang your head down a little bit? He's like, it shouldn't really be a huge problem. And again, he's looking at things from a whole body perspective. Like, let's allow the neck to be able to do whatever it needs to do. Like, whatever calls upon us, maybe you can argue centuries ago, maybe we had to look up a lot more and look in trees and different things or whatever. But your neck should be able to have access to doing many different things. He showed an example of a basketball player the other day, and the guy was coming off the court. And see, with this ball thing, I think people are going to get obsessed with, like, thinking that, like, this is the key, you know, for them to get out of pain. but again, it's a whole entire system of movements to kind of get you to the right spot. But he showed a basketball player the other day, and the guy did a stretch.
Pull up that video, coming off the court. 36.
And when the guy came off the court, the basketball player like tucked his head like down all the way by his knees. And this guy has a bad back. And he's like, that ain't gonna do shit for that guy's back. That flexibility or that extra flexibility that guy thinks he's acquiring from doing that like quick stretch, like that guy is still going to have a bad back. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of the things that he's putting forward are dispelling a lot of myths that are out there about, you know, you would think that someone has a mobile back. Why would their back hurt?
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. you would think that with mobility issues comes pain, but it's not. Doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, it was Joel Embiid and. Yeah, same thing with me. Like, we've messed with, like, certain things, and it's like, I'm very mobile, I think, for my situation, but, like, it doesn't matter. I can get into some weird positions, but, like, my back would still be, you know, in a lot of pain. But this is the video you wanted me to pull up?
Yeah, that one's just a cool one of a woman who's 36 years old with cerebral palsy. Like, she could barely walk onto mm-hmm. the treadmill before. Now she's able to, like, really move. And he's done this with multiple types of people that have cerebral palsy.
I also think that your goals are a big factor. You know, like what are the things that you want to do? Like, if you want to be able to jump and sprint, then, you know, most likely to get yourself into those positions, be able to jump and sprint, you'll have to feel pretty darn healthy.
Yeah.
You'll also need a good strategy because, like, by the time you get to those things, if you go to do them and you get hurt, you might get hurt severely. So. But, like, I think with a lot of the stuff that this guy's doing, you're seeing, like, yeah, these athletes that he has, these people that are coming to him, they're sprinting in the gym, they're jumping. We're seeing the same thing from some of the GOTA people, where I don't know if that's, like, normal part of fitness, as weird as that sounds.
I think, you know, one thing is when we're looking at fitness or when we have been looking at fitness, we're looking through a pretty narrow lens because like we've lifting. Done bodybuilding, we've done powerlifting. Like when we're talking to a lot of people that pay attention to this stuff, we're like a lot of these people are also within the gym. And when the general population is looking at fitness, the general population thinks I need to go out and run. Like, I think that's a slight disconnect. The general population.
People think
like,
running's going to help them, optimize their body composition.
Yeah.
And it's probably a horrible way to try to go about doing it.
At least a horrible initial way, especially if you're coming from a place of sitting in an office chair all day long. You barely ever do run. You probably don't have your nutrition in check. And now you want to go out and run probably with horrible form, putting all these different levels of force on your
knees,
your back.
I'm going to run and not eat.
Yeah. Right? Like that's the general population's look at fitness. So like, I think something like this stuff, for most people, because most people are coming from we were talking about this because there's a time that me and you were going back and forth, and I was like looking at his stuff. I'm like, I love what he's doing, but why is he shitting on everybody else? But then you mentioned this, and I was like, okay, you know what? That made something click for me. Most people that aren't like this isn't people that are watching this show normally. Most people in the general population are coming from a place of being sedentary, not paying any attention to their nutrition. They haven't done real physical things in a while. And then they go into a gym with a personal trainer and then they start squatting and doing these types of movements. And that can be good to help them gain muscle, but that's not necessarily maybe the best thing to get them to actually be able to move better. Right? Something like this, or any way that you can get an individual client to be able to use multiple muscle groups at the same time. So if you look at some of the things that he's doing with I don't know the name of that machine. It's a cable machine, but it's a special cable machine that they use that has a really long lever. But if you see that, when you're holding those positions with load, it's teaching an individual how to stabilize with positions and then they move forward or they move backward. They're learning how to move everything together well, right? That would be something that would be really good for somebody who's coming from a sedentary lifestyle to do rather than just deadlifting and squatting. Not that those things are bad. Those movements aren't bad. It's going to help people gain muscle, more muscle. There's a lot of benefits to that, but for movement purposes and stuff like this is really, and that's human. Mm-hmm. You know, it's human to be able to run and sprint.
Absolutely.
You know? And kind of going back to what Andrew was mentioning about, and even what you were mentioning about being able to do things like when you were 18 years old, when you were young. We're seeing this occurrence of, like, I've been seeing at least a lot of bodybuilders start to take up running. Like my buddy Sam Okunola, you're taking up running. Mm-hmm. Nick Bear is taking up running. Mm-hmm. And Nick is still plenty muscular, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, it's great.
I think that within fitness, no matter if you're a fitness professional or if you're someone who just really likes to lift or whatever, you shouldn't limit yourself in terms of the type of shit that you believe you can do. You know, just because you do bodybuilding, that doesn't mean you can't go and you can start doing some jujitsu, or you can't go and you can start running, or you can't go and you can start progressing yourself to be able to sprint again. It may be something that takes a little bit of time and a little bit of practice, but overall, that's not something that you can't do because you're sticking to a specific sport, you know?
Yeah. The
and full, this is really cool.
Yeah, this shit's fucking wild.
I'm going to go try this with the cable machine in the gym.
Man, yeah, someday I'll be able to move that way. Right now, maybe not. But yeah, that's fucking crazy.
But you see how but right here, it literally just looks like this dude is experimenting with mm-hmm. his body and load. Like how's my body going to be able to handle these forces? And if your body's able to handle forces well like this, these forces in these weird areas, and your whole body's able to work together, picture how much better you're going to be able to just move as an individual. Mm-hmm. It's just making sense.
What I like a lot is like being able to use like weight or some sort of resistance as a form of assistance in some ways. So like, you know, the Ben Patrick ATG split squat.
Yeah.
And then I was showing Ben like, hey, like, I think this would be really good if people did these with a band. Mm-hmm. And then I was showing him the hack squat, do hack squats that way too. That way you get to alleviate a lot of pressure. But when you take some of these machines and you take some of these cables and you like twist with the cable, well, now you can get like a different kind of twist because now you have a little bit, you have some weight in your hands. For example, like if you're going to squat down, like hopefully you can squat down pretty proficiently without any weight. But if you hold like a 30-pound kettlebell or something like that out in front of you, you'll notice that your hips might kind of crouch down a little bit lower. And I think that's what we're starting to see in fitness. I don't really recall like these things being utilized as much as we're starting to see now. And the stuff he's doing with the cables is interesting because to me, it kind of looks like stretching, but I know he's also like kind of halfway exercising. It's like, it's not really a stretch necessarily, and it's not really necessarily lifting, but it's just these movement patterns that he's going through. And so he's ending up with these kind of diagonal type of movements, along with these kind of side bend type movements, along with like pushing and utilizing the torque and torsion of the shoulders, as well as utilizing your hips a ton, just like when you throw or just like when you go and take off into a sprint.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say, like, you know, it being like the full body, you know, approach, like you were talking about in SEMA, you know, like when Stuart McGill was just like, you're going to just walk until you feel better and then you can start lifting. But when I was walking, I was still walking incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like every step I would take would just aggravate everything even more. So he was definitely giving me great advice, but I needed Gary and Goda to tell me like, no, dude, like we got to do it this way. So that way you're not impacting so much on your heel and then that's shooting straight up to your back. So... But what's funny is like now, like when I do have time to work out, like it's awesome. Like I was exporting yesterday's podcast or I guess this morning's podcast. And while that was going, I just went out to the gym, did a couple of things. And like, I just felt like I got so much of a better workout because I'm able to move better. Mm. And, you know, even like I'm not really working out right now, but like my body's like either holding up or even getting better somehow. Like I'm feeling good body fat wise. That's definitely not going to go down, but like my arms haven't shrunk because I'm like always on the ground now. My legs, because I'm doing wall sits every single morning and night for at least 3 minutes at a time, like they're staying in pretty good shape. Now, capacity, cardio and all that shit, like, yeah, that's not, it's not getting any better. But everything else is doing pretty good, and it's the full body and mind approach for me. And I'm really happy that I'm able to do some of the things I haven't been able to do in the past.
It's going to be great to have David Weck here. Mm-hmm. People can't see on camera, but Nseema's standing on these sole steps right now, and It just kind of puts your feet in like a different position. But what it will do is it will get you like into this bow position. And what I've noticed from Nadi Aguilar here is that he's getting a lot of his athletes into this bow position over and over again, where the foot is domed. That's what it's called when you put an arch into your foot. Your foot is being like domed. And so you can kind of mimic that just by like getting up on your toes and then aggressively like flexing your toes into the ground, like you're trying to get up on your toes like a ballerina. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that your foot, whether you have a quote unquote flat foot or not, you'll end up with this kind of nice shape to the inside of your foot. And what the Goda guys are trying to teach a lot of times is this inside ankle bone. They want that to be out. They want that to be up. They don't want that to be sandwiched in, because a lot of times that's where like we're getting like a lot of collapsing, or we're getting valgus knee. And most of the time those positions can be dangerous for athletes. And hopefully, you know, you're able to avoid, you know, going into some of those weird movement patterns. But with the sole step that Nsema is standing on now, it kind of sets you into that bow position. And what you'll notice with them is that when you stand on something like that, or the Goda slant boards, or you can, you know, set something up where your feet are kind of, you know, on a little bit of a slant like that. But if you go to push into your hip, you'll notice that your hip, you'll kind of feel it more in your glute, and you'll feel it more, right? You feel it.
Yeah.
And what it will do is like it opens up this kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it opens up this like back pocket mm-hmm. of like your hip socket. You know, it opens it up and like gives it more space. And what's weird for me is like that actually, that movement kind of hurts, because I don't have internal rotation of that hip any longer, or at least I lost a lot of it. And so I have to work on kind of like regaining it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, and I love the fact that this guy is fighting with that guy, and that guy is fighting with this guy, and we're all arguing. But what I love seeing over and over again is that the same shit keeps coming up over and over and over again. And I'm like, this.
There's so, parallels. Like, there's all these through lines between all these practices. There's a through line of multiple things.
Corey Schlesinger, in not so many words, because he's a professional, he didn't take a shit on Goda, but I know that he wanted to. but when we went out to the gym, every fucking move he showed us was done in a Goda fashion. Every movement that he showed us was done with that bow and done with that inside ankle bone being high. Mm-hmm. And when Ben Patrick would show you how to do an exercise, when he's explaining stuff, he's in these amazing positions already. He has that inside ankle bone being high. He has the knee bowed out. He just is like sitting in these wonderful positions because he's worked so much on his mobility and some of his strength out of those weird ranges.
And partially because he's been doing athletic stuff forever.
Absolutely.
These are athletic positions. It's not Goda. This is just athletic positions. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about
that's
it.
That's what like, Goda is. It's an observation of the greatest of all time actions. And that's what they encompass it as. Mm-hmm. Like Ed Reed moves this way. This guy moves this way. They're trying to get more people to move that way.
Yeah.
It's their belief that this is the best way to move. And I'm not like stuck on that belief system, but I do believe heavily in a lot of what they're saying. And I continue to see a lot of these parallels. Now, can we go outside of that?
Absolutely.
I think we fucking can. I think we can. And I think that we should. I don't think that it, like, the human body's capable of a lot of stuff. And there's no reason why we can't get a little nitty gritty on some like deadlifts here and there. There's no reason why we can't have some valgus knee here and there. Do we want to like explore that when someone's going for like a rear naked choke? Probably not, because that might blow your knee out. Should your body have the capacity to be able to do some of those things because you worked in those range of motions because that's the sport that you're in? Yeah, probably should. You probably should work on some of the mobility and flexibility of the quad and the hip, so that if someone does get you in that position, you've told me you've seen many people blow their knees out that way. These are things that, like, whatever sport it is or whatever thing that you're trying to prep yourself for, you can kind of think about those positions and think about, hey, what are some ways I can strengthen the muscles around that area? what are some ways I can get myself in and out of those positions in case that happens?
Paraproject family, how's it going? Now, a lot of you guys are lifters, athletes. You're serious about the gym, and we are too. And that's why we've been using Slingshot products for years, all right? You have the original Slingshot, obviously the glittery pink hip circle, which is my personal favorite. But if you don't like that, then you have the normal hip circle that's used to warm up the hips. But on the website, they have tons of equipment, knee sleeves, elbow sleeves, the gangster wraps right there. So you need to go check him out. And Andrew, can you tell him more about it?
Yes. If you guys know Mark Bell, then you know all about his powerlifting career. And one thing he's always said is protect yourself before you wreck yourself. And you guys can protect yourself right now by heading over to markbellslingshot.com and at checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT for 15% off your entire order. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Yeah. I mean, with a lot of the stuff that Ben is doing, he's getting strong in very deep positions that a lot of people would potentially get themselves injured in. Now, one thing I see with like quite a few of these functional patterns dudes is like one guy left a comment on my shit recently that was, and I saw the comment and was like, this is definitely an FP guy. He left a comment on something. He's like, these bros are going to be having knee replacements within 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, FP, go to his profile. Functional pattern movement specialist. Now, that's one thing that Nadi's been saying, that a lot of the stuff that Ben's doing is going to be leading people to knee replacements. And he did mention to me how, like, yeah, people start doing these things, they're going to be getting injuries, whatever. This is the thing, though. I wonder what level of personal responsibility we have to put on individuals who pay attention to people's content. Because if somebody were to look at fucking hell, Jamal Browner or somebody who's doing some wild shit and be like, I'm going to go in the gym and deadlift 500 pounds. And then they herniate a disc in their back. They're like, I tried a deadlift and I herniated a disc. Mm-hmm. You don't see all the buildup that this man did, all the mm-hmm. overall strength that this man has built up to be able to do this safely.
Yeah.
The same thing with any other thing. You see a bodybuilder doing some behind the neck presses mm-hmm. and all these personal
those
trainers.
Those are bad like, movements.
Personal trainers, all of them, like, yeah, like multiple influencers. That's a bad movement. That's going to injure mm-hmm. you. Do you not see the level of strength this individual is? They don't know what this individual has done over the years to be able to get them to be able to do that. Now, with a lot of things that Ben puts forward, he doesn't put forward the whole program with all of the regressions that individuals should be able to do before they try to load certain things. So then individuals are like, ATG split squat with 50 pounds in each hand. And then they're like, ooh, this is kind of painful, but it's good for my knee. And then they fuck up their knee and they're like, Ben Patrick fucked up my knee. No, 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 no. That's individual responsibility. You know, it's not that people are going to be needing knee replacements because they do this work. The people that get up and getting messed up did not start where they should have. Mm-hmm. And that can't all be put on the people who are putting forward this. The guy, like Ben, makes sure to preface everything. And a lot of other people mm-hmm. that are like, who
he's
are
very
professionals,
careful with his language, yeah.
A lot of other professionals are careful too. But you, with the amount of people that are going to be able to see these things, you cannot control the mm-hmm. everything that everybody does.
Right.
You can't do that. And the interesting thing with like functional patterns and stuff, a lot of this stuff needs specialty equipment, mm-hmm. you know, like he's doing this with his specialty machine and the Parabol, et cetera. So there is a level of control he has in terms of people not fucking themselves up. With a lot of other systems, all you need is your body. All you need is maybe a dumbbell. And I know Nadi also does some stuff without the machine. It's not like that's all he does. They have a 10-week course on their website. So if any of you guys want to go down that rabbit hole, it's a great rabbit hole to go down and learn. But yeah, it's like, no. This is not going to cause knee replacements for people who are doing these things responsibly and still using, you know, good judgment in what they do, you know? So
here's the first thing with somebody having an injury. You know, somebody that's listening right now, their shoulder hurts, their elbow, their knee, their back, whatever it is. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? You'll probably be kind of disappointed if you think about it. You're probably not doing much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are currently working on it, but maybe you also gave up, or maybe you're not doing as much as you think that you can be. And I think the hard part is to be patient. Like, you're not going to get results right away. Every once in a while, you have an injury that's just a tweak. I think you tweaked your ankle a little bit, right?
Yeah, sprained it.
Sprained it, right? And you have, so it's like, how long is that probably going to hurt for? Maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's going fast, though, because I'm doing some shit.
Because you're paying attention to it. You're addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also smart enough to say, okay, check. tweaked my ankle. Why? Why my ankle? Why'd I tweak my ankle? I'm a pretty big guy. I'm pretty fucking strong. The body fat check thing said that I have crazy bone density. Like, these ankles shouldn't go anywhere. Like,
these ankles.
Yeah. I should have robust ankles. And so you'll probably think, okay, well, I did, you know, I've been training the Tibbs and stuff, and but maybe there's something else I should be training. And I think a lot of people aren't looking into stuff like that. You're starting to evaluate everything. You're like, I think I have kind of bitch wrists, right? you're starting to train them, and you're starting to pay attention.
They're
to
small.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We're starting to pay attention to like as many different things as we can. So whenever you have an injury, you have to think to yourself, what are you doing about it? And what I would suggest, there's kind of like two places to start. Place number one to start is find some sort of partial range of motion that is pain-free, that allows you to get blood into the muscle or into the surrounding area. So again, find a range of motion, could be a very short range of motion, that allows you to get blood into an area pain-free. The second part of it is you want to take the joint, because normally it's a joint that hurts, take the joint to its end range or end ranges. So in the case of the knee, that would be with your leg fully extended, your leg completely straight. And a lot of people, some people listening might find that they actually have difficulty straightening their leg all the way out. Because a lot of times over periods of time, our knees and elbows kind of end up we end up like the Tin Man. They end up being kind of bent. So make sure that you can express that and make sure that you can push your knee almost backwards a little bit. Sounds kind of gross, right? But you also want to explore that bottom position, and you want to have that knee fully opened up as if you were doing a full squat, trying to get your butt to touch the ground, or you're doing some sort of like ATG split squat. You're doing something where your knee is very forward. Now, there's so many different versions of how that can look. If you're in pain or if you had a surgery recently, well, now we got to like really consider what that's going to look like, because you're probably fucking hurts. Well, that could be as easy as you just putting your foot up on a couple sets of stairs or onto a chair or onto a box in the gym. Mm-hmm. And then you just lean forward towards that knee, and that's your ATG split squat for now. And you're trying to get what Kelly Starrett would call like overpressure. Why are we trying to do that? Because that's going to get synovial fluid into the joint. It's going to get the joint to open up. You're expressing that end range of motion of the joint that probably doesn't get expressed that much, probably why you got hurt in the first place. And we're going to attack it that way. And then again, we can overload it with shorter ranges of motion that are pain-free, which would be what? Backward sled dragging, right? If it's the elbows, then maybe you're doing like a banded tricep pushdown and you're doing like hundreds of reps and you want to get that shit to burn. And I know you're like, hey, it doesn't make any sense because I think I have tendonitis in my elbow. Trust me, it makes sense. You want to get a lot of blood to the area.
Mm-hmm. So let me mention this ankle real quick, because people are like, he injured his ankle too? This fucking... No. Anyway, recently I was like, gosh, I was juggling the ball in the gym. I'm like, man, this feels good. I want to, like, instead of just going out and running, maybe I can just go play some soccer. So I went, and my boy Thomas Mendez, I don't want to say his last name wrong, but Thomas, he's a part of the ATG crew. He does a lot of indoor and outdoor soccer. So he invited me to 11 on 11 and I played, and it was fun. I got winded, but I was doing a lot of different movement. But there was one time where I was going for a ball and like my foot, you know, in these types of, in soccer or like basketball, rolling ankles, it's kind of common. So I landed and I rolled my ankle, sprained my ankle, you know. But overall, I was actually very happy with the way that my body handled stopping, sprinting, stopping, going backwards, going from side to side. I sprained my ankle. But because I have some tools, this was 2 days ago when you guys listen to this podcast, it's going to be a while, but I'm already walking on it. I was walking on it yesterday in the gym because I have, like, I'm figuring out what my ankle is able to do. I'm getting it to end ranges. I'm doing it through minimal pain. And I'm going to be, this is going to be healed very quickly. The hamstring's already fully healed that I, you know, did with Graham. But this is one thing. It's like when you go and you do something that, like, I haven't played soccer in maybe 7 to 8 years, right? I was purposefully just backing off of what I wanted to do because my body's used to playing soccer at 215 and being 240, trying to put those forces through this body, like I'll, it's a good idea to back off a little bit. But that's the
now
same
now you're
thing.
Probably able to produce more force. Too.
I'm able to produce way more force.
Like blow your body to pieces.
Which is why when we were sprinting with Graham, I should have actually gone even less intense than I was because I wasn't going full bore when I was sprinting with him. I was purposefully trying to keep back because I'm like, if I go full bore right now, since I haven't sprinted in a long time, I'm going to rip my shit up like something. And even though I did, it still did. So this is why I should have sprinted like a real pussy. Mm-hmm. Like if I did that, that would have been the thing that would allow me to do this over more sessions, build up my intensity, build up my body's ability to handle those forces that it hasn't handled in a long time. And I would have been good. Now I'm still good right now because we know how to handle injury. My hamstring's fine. My ankle's pretty much good, but that's how we're going to be approaching a lot of these new things we're doing. Like you're running. I keep going back to you starting running because when you started running, you weren't just running. You were doing run walks. Mm-hmm. You would run, you'd feel uncomfortable.
I still do them.
You still do them.
Yeah.
Right. But you're inching yourself into that. Whereas I got excited, right? I got kind of excited sprinting and I thought I was being responsible, but it wasn't responsible enough for me to avoid pulling my hammy. So that's all. That's
anyone
all we
that's
going
to try to do something that requires like a pretty good amount of intensity is going to get hurt. You know, you're hopefully the injury or the pain that you get, hopefully it's very minor. You know, hopefully it's just like, oh man, I tried to run barefoot, my feet kind of hurt. Like, hopefully it's just that. Like, hopefully it's not like an Achilles or hopefully it's not, you know, hip flexor or like, hopefully it's not like a tear. You know, hopefully it's like, try to keep this shit like as minor as you possibly can. But I'm going to repeat that again. You're most likely going to get hurt because.
Or you feel a little niggle. You know?
Yeah. You'll feel something. You'll
you need
be
to
like,
be careful with that word.
I'm like, oh, sir. Like, Mark, don't agree. No,
it's don't people. What did I just say?
You can say that word. I think you said wiggle.
I said, you know what? I'm not going to repeat what I said. It just sounded like, keep going, Mark.
And that's the end
of
the
little
show.
Nagging injury.
Yeah. A niggle is a cause slight but persistent annoyance and discomfort or anxiety. It's the correct word.
Wow.
N-I-G-G-L-E.
Oh my God.
It's a little niggle.
I've never heard it with a, I want to say so bad and I can't.
I've never heard that with a hard L.
Doug!
I wish that was on camera. Nobody saw you pointing at me.
It's a hard L.
You got him.
Oh, my abs cramping. Oh, no. Shit. Oh, man. Dog, what were you going to say?
I have no idea.
We can totally bleep it.
No.
Dog, just don't.
That's a clean word. Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good. Let's go.
I'll get it out later.
Oh, man.
You're going to get fucked up. You know, you're going to end up with something. And whether it's jiu-jitsu or whether it's you're trying to play soccer again or any of these things, you're going to probably end up with a tweak because the odds of you being able to stay in your own lane is going to be low. Like you're going to get too excited. You get too pumped. And especially mm-hmm. as you start to feel better and better. But the thing is, you got to learn from the injuries. When you, for me, my right ankle is a little tight. So I need to explore some of that too. Like why I think my ankle is tight because I ran the other day barefoot. How often have I run barefoot? Mm-hmm. Okay. Like twice in my adult life that I can recall that I've run barefoot. So do I need to, you know, run barefoot more? Do I need to train my ankle more? Next time I go to run, do I need to be a little bit more cautious? Like, these are all things that, like, I can now put into effect with my training and decide, like, how do I want to proceed from there?
Also, I would highly just recommend do not catastrophize injury. Because what happens when you get a little injury, like, for example, when this happened to my ankle, I got home that night, I was fucking limping up the stairs. I wake up in the morning, my knee is super tight. Okay, my hip flexor hurts to lift my hip flexor like this. So I'm walking, I do my stuff. But my knee, like, because of what was going on with my ankle, It caused some upstream issues with my knee, and even my lower back felt a little wonky. So I was like, oh my God, I had surgery in that knee. Did I maybe do something while moving that fucked with my meniscus? So I was like, whoa, bro, calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just your ankle. Just work on that. Mm-hmm. Slowly work into deeper ranges. Your body's going to be okay. And boom, a day later, I'm a little bit better. My knee still feels wonky. Boom, the next day, which is today, my knee feels great. My ankle feels great because I'm just slowly moving through those ranges. But if I catastrophized what happened and I was too ginger on my ankle and didn't do much, I was like, oh God, I got to keep it here. And I was also being a little bit too ginger on everything else. Things first off would not be progressing as fast. And I might, like you, Andrew, like I might start being like, oh God, I got to be careful with my knee. Mm-hmm. What you were doing.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Like when you start to think you have this problem, and this is a tough line to toe because sometimes you need to go get your shit checked. So I'm not saying that you should be totally he-manning pain. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm also saying, like, work through things, take it day by day, try to get a little bit more each day, mm-hmm. be responsible, but don't let it go too far where you start having a fear of what's going on. Because this reminds me of something that we talked about when we had Andy Triana on the podcast, Go Superbrain. He talked about working with an athlete, professional athlete, who had something up with her knee, and she was feeling massive levels of pain in her sprints, and it was fucking with her, right? Mm-hmm. So he had to work with her on the psychological side of moving past that pain so that she'd be able to perform. He didn't do anything super special physically. This was all, he literally just changed the way that she was going about doing things with her knee from the way that she thought about her knee, and she was able to start performing. That's why we're saying the mental side of injury is such a big deal. You honestly need to attack injury. This doesn't mean be irresponsible mm-hmm. and work through crazy ranges and then just gnarly your shit up through pain. No, but you need to be proactive into doing things. A quick example so I can make this kind of clear. When I had my meniscus surgery and they took part of my meniscus out, luckily I had really good people to talk to about what should I do. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I was able to get some information from Kelly Storette because of you, but there was somebody that gave me some information on, like, get that range of motion back as soon as you fucking mm-hmm. can. Get your knee right after surgery, get your knee straight. Actually, I think you did get to Kelly Storette for me. And then he told me to get my knee straight. Like, do my best to put my knee up on pillows and get that range of motion back as fast as possible. And then once I got that range of motion back, which was quick, that I was doing stuff in the gym on a single leg while the wrap was still around my knee. And I was moving a few weeks later, squatting a few weeks later. The doctor, though, told me, yeah, just keep off of your knee. Just sit up, let it recover. When you come back and we take everything off, then you can start working with our physical therapist here. I understand that's an insurance thing to try to keep people safe, but that would have fucked my knee up even worse in the long run than me trying to get range of motion back, trying to start working this joint through different things. I never really worked through deep pain, but I just got it moving with whatever I could. I was getting all the ranges of motion I could, and that's why the knee, when I was recovered, he was like, how the fuck did you recover so quickly? Like, this doesn't make any sense. You shouldn't be able to move yet, but it's because we attacked it rather than being defensive about it.
Yeah, you got to be aggressive about it. You know, you think about, like, the knee in particular, and you think about, like, man, I'm having a really hard time straightening my knee out, having a hard time with some sort of extension. Like, you're just sitting watching TV and you go to extend your knee out and you notice that when you flex your knee all the way or flex your leg all the way, that there's some pain sitting in there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of these movements are painful. Like, sometimes a leg extension or something like that might be painful for someone that's got a banged up knee. And I'm not even saying that a leg extension is necessarily a great exercise or anything. But what I would encourage people to do is just think outside the box. You know, let's say you have a bad shoulder and you, when you go to press overhead, you press like more forward than you do straight overhead. Mm. Like, my shoulder is still pretty tight in the back and I still got to work on some stuff with it. But so how do I get my shoulder to move in that range of motion? Well, how about a lat pull down? How about a pull up or chin up? How do I, you know, can I pull down straight? Yeah, I sure can. You know, I can work on things that way. Maybe there's things I can do with bands where I can take my arms, through a range of motion that is close to me pressing straight overhead. And then maybe over time I can open up a little bit more and get some of that access. And then the same thing with the knee. Like when you're talking about the knee, what about doing like a leg curl? Like, you know, a seated leg curl, or like we're doing in the gym, we do the seated leg curl that Ben Patrick was showing us. It's like, look at the way the knee is bent. That our body, our mind is really fucking smart. Our central nervous system is really smart. But for lack of a better term, like the body in a lot of ways is really dumb too. It doesn't know what you're doing. It doesn't know what you're doing or why. So if you go to do a squat in the squat rack, and you and utilize a band to help you get in position, as we were doing with a regression with Ben Patrick, and as I was doing with my brother-in-law today, who has a banged up knee, I would take a band and I would hook it to the J hooks of the rack, and so it'd go across, and I would put my armpits on the band, and the band would hold me up like I'm a baby, like those little baby things,
jumpers,
little jumpers. Mm-hmm. And so now as I go down, as I squat or as I do an ATG split squat, maybe the band is set up to where it's alleviating 80 pounds of body weight. That's a lot of body weight for my body to now think that it weighs a lot less that way. So again, the knees don't know what's going on. All they know is that they're being taken through a full range of motion. And they're like, hey, like, what's going on up there? This is great. You guys are doing it, man. You're going through a full range of motion. How come there's no pain? Well, there's less pain because there's less weight. We don't have, and for some people, there might be pain even when they do reduce the weight because they might have to go in a lesser range of motion. How much pain should you work through? You shouldn't really have to work through hardly any pain. Maybe there's like, scale of 1 to 10. Maybe there's like a 1 or 2. If you're trying to be like a pro bodybuilder, if you're trying to be a power lifter or something like that, maybe your interpretation of pain and maybe the level of pain might be a 2 or 3, but again, it's still going to be low. You shouldn't feel like you're getting hurt. If you're in a jiu-jitsu tournament and you're in the final round, it's like, you're just going to go for whatever. Like that's okay. Like in those situations, I think that's where you can make a call. Like, I don't really care if I get hurt in this because I'm being competitive and I want to fucking win.
Yeah.
Same thing with a powerlifting competition or something like that. But in the gym, the gym is a place to not only just get better and to not only lift more weight, but to fucking feel better.
Yes.
And I think that's why we're so obsessed with a lot of this stuff. I think maybe you at some point, but definitely me, I got lost, man. I got lost in the shuffle. I was like counting plates. You know, I was counting weight. I was getting excited. I was like, this is awesome, man. Mm-hmm. I squatted 900. Now I'm going to squat 1,000. I squatted 1,000. Now I'm going to squat 1,100. I bench 700. Now I'm going to bench 800. I bench 800. Now I'm going to bench 900. And I forgot. You know, I fucking got lost in the mix. I lost sight of the fact that working out, exercising is supposed to make you feel better. And we had our boy on the show, our boy Taco Truck on the show a couple of years back. And he was saying, like, when he told me that, he was like, workouts are supposed to make you feel better.
Yeah.
We just had him on with Chad Mendez.
Oh, yeah.
Gigantic okay. Monster. I didn't
know. Amadeo Novella.
There it is. Okay. I can't remember his last name.
Our boy Amadeo. He was like, with these athletes that he works with, that's what he drives home to them. It's like, these workouts are supposed to make you feel better. And when he said that on our show, it was probably like 2 years ago, I'm like, oh man, like I don't do that to myself enough. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that I just do a workout and feel better. And now that's kind of pretty much where my workouts are living, except for every once in a while when I still make a mistake and get too pumped up about something.
And working out to feel better does not mean you cannot gain muscle, does not mean you cannot gain strength. There's this underlying thing when it comes to, and I maybe because like when I was focused on powerlifting and focused on, you know, just increasing those numbers, fuck yeah, my elbows were trashed.
You're also not weaker, I don't think. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you can go in the gym and deadlift, and maybe you would deadlift less than 755, which is your best in a contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just like one movement. I mean, you're stronger everywhere else, I would imagine, right?
Stronger. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm stronger everywhere else. I wouldn't go into the gym and try to squat six or something right now, but I could build back up to that pretty easily because the muscle is still there. But my ability to handle different types of loads in different ranges is just much better now. I move better. And that's why I started jiu-jitsu. When I started jiu-jitsu 6 years ago, number one, I was literally trying to find some type of sport or some type of practice that would allow me to be able to move well and move my body, because I came from a background of playing soccer. And at that time, I was focused on bodybuilding and powerlifting. But with both of these sports, I was just feeling kind of stuck. Like, I was like, I'm not moving. I'm not running. I'm not doing much. So when I started jiu-jitsu and I was doing all these dynamic type movements, and over time my body started feeling better because I still was stretching and doing all of that with jiu-jitsu and strength training, I was like, that started to just become the focus. I don't want to get weak. I don't want to get small, but I want to move like a better human being. Like, I should be able to do certain things that I wasn't able to do at that point because I was so focused on getting bigger and stronger. But I wanted those capacities back. And I have those capacities back and more, which is, that's what I was trying. This has been what I've been trying to be able to accomplish as far as my fitness is concerned.
And at this point, lifting wise, like, I don't know, like, how minimum effective dose, you know, like, how much lifting do you need? It doesn't look like you're lacking, like, needing to, like, lift a lot more.
No, like, and that's the thing. It's like, that's the interesting thing. When people focus on bodybuilding, the focus is training volume. The focus is increasing training volume over time so you can continue to gain more muscle. And as far as, even though I do get that, at this point, I'm still gaining new muscle because, and I think partially because I'm gaining new ability. I'm getting new capacities. My body weight exercise strength is going up. Like, I'm getting better at that.
And Nordics and stuff like that. Nordics. I mean, you started out not being able to do hardly any, right?
I couldn't do a clean one.
Right.
I did like one and a half. But the first one was not clean. There was some assistance. And now Nordics are super easy, along with a lot of other movements that I wouldn't have been able to do in the past, as far as because of my knees, et cetera. I wouldn't have been able to do those movements in those ranges. And now I can, which is why, again, when some of these FP homies are like, you guys are going to need knee replacements. I'm like, dog, you don't know. Like, before, my knees were in pain when I was going to these ranges. Now I can go into these ranges without pain. You're parroting something that your leader has stated, but if done responsibly, these things aren't going to need or lead people to knee replacements. And the crazy thing that I think is that all of these people, from Nadi to Goda to Ben to every single different type of coach we have on, everyone has the same goal of helping the population become healthier, helping the population move better, helping people not be obese. We're all trying to just improve people's health. So stop being so fucking dogmatic about how people go about improving their health. Stop shitting on people for becoming better and getting different capacities and gaining muscle. Stop shitting on the way people do it. It's fucking annoying. It's so childish.
You pissed them off. The veins are coming out. And I think some of them get choked out. So
thanks a lot, everybody.
Yeah.
It's just like we're all, like, you guys are all trying to do the same thing for everybody, but now you're doing these stupid little infights and acting like children. It doesn't make any sense. While other people are out here, they're sitting around, they're not being able to do things in their lives, you guys are infighting about which fucking thing is better. Get the fuck out of here, dog. Mm-hmm. Help people. Mm-hmm. That's all.
You got Marcus Philly's way of working out.
Yeah.
You got Matt Wenning's way of working out. You got some of our ideas of working out. Some of the ideas of Mind Pump. Some of the, right. There's a laundry list of a lot of different ways. And if it's someone's pumped about it and they're excited about it, why take a shit on them for it? What if, you know, you have somebody who's a friend and they're like, I'm getting super strong. I'm doing yoga. Da da da. It's like, just let them have it. Just fucking leave it alone. You don't need to get into an argument. You don't need to like pull out a fucking chart that has science on it and it says, you know, all these things about, you know, time under tension and all this shit and how
range
the muscle
of motion.
Yeah, muscle needs to get activated with weight and all these different things. If that person asks you for help, if they're like, hey, I'm enjoying yoga, I think I'm getting a little stronger from it, but I would like to get a little more muscle, that's when you can have the conversation. But don't go crapping on somebody for some things that they're trying to explore.
Absolutely. Like, okay, because like, and I get the dysfunction of yoga. I get it. But like, let's say that someone is doing yoga, which is something that a lot of FP people, I mean, don't like, and I understand why. But instead of saying, oh, that's gonna, just be like, hey, add this in. Because I guarantee that if they add in any of the concepts that they're doing within FP or any type of strength training, that individual that's doing yoga will improve. And maybe they're going to be able to figure out their own well-rounded practice for themselves. Because if anything, what we've been able to do here is you still do bodybuilding. You still do something in some mm-hmm. things in terms of powerlifting. But now you run and you do this, you do go to stuff. You're not in one tribe. I do jujitsu. I do bodybuilding. I still do strength training. I'm doing calisthenics now. I do ATG stuff. I'm not in a single tribe. I have just taken all these things mm-hmm. and turned it into my system.
Yeah, people don't need to worry. I'm not going to have a fucking man bun and be all goat on everybody. And I'm not going to look like one of Ben Patrick's disciples anytime soon either. Like, I like lifting the way that I'm lifting. I like doing the things that I'm doing. I mean, a lot of
you
people
should
that,
grow that shit out just because now, man.
A lot of those fucking people that came to the Ben Patrick seminar, it's amazing that we had that many people here and it was great.
I know where this
but a lot of fucking people don't look like they lift. Right? A lot of them,
yeah. The ones that were really in it, some of the coaches, yeah. they have some meaty legs on them. But a lot of them are also like athletes, yeah. like soccer players, basketball players.
Some of y'all just have to lift some weights. Yeah. Don't get too caught up in it, you know?
And is it explained, sorry, because I'm new to the like FP stuff.
Yeah.
But why is everyone always like pretty much naked?
Oh,
what's that all about?
That's so they can see everyone's body. Because, like, I don't know if you saw, like, he had a video of, like, I think it was a woman walking on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. And you could see, like, her spine moving yeah. around. And he's like, look at her spine moving around this way. Mm-hmm. Plus, I just think they want everybody naked. But I think, like, having the skin there, like, I think you get, like, a little bit of a visual.
No, he's able to, like, you're able to see what's going on with yes. somebody. Like, oh, yeah, that's a good video.
Yeah, so see her back kind of like rocking around. Looks like it's like jolting as she's walking shit. On the treadmill.
Dude, I bet you I got some of that.
And her whole body's probably kind of like, it doesn't look like a clean, smooth walk. Like it looks, yeah, and then that looks way different. Right?
Yeah, she's getting over her pillars there.
Oh, she's got nicer clothes on too. Hey now.
Fancy that.
Wow.
Hey, you creeps.
So
anyways.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot we were doing the show there for a second.
Yeah, the lack of clothing, the man buns. A little culty-ish, I guess, mm-hmm. you know,
but and I'm one can it. Say the same about
literally everything, but like, yeah,
I mean, yeah, go ahead. There's a few other things that people can say are a bit cultish. Like,
I'm just being silly.
I know. At the end of the day though, like I dig all of this stuff. I dig the stuff that Goat is doing. I dig all of it, but then, you know,
the enthusiasm, like we just don't like to see the enthusiasm be so much that you go outside and crap on other techniques.
I don't see the necessity
and other ways of doing it. I agree. And I think, I can just take blame and say, hey, I'm responsible. I've done that many times myself mm-hmm. and I will work on doing a better job in the future. I just get excited sometimes.
I've done that before too.
I get all hyped up and then I think like this is the way and it's just like not. So
only when it comes to the protein.
That's right. There's multiple ways to go with stuff.
Yeah. I'm trying to wonder like when do you feel like you escaped that matrix? Because I remember like when I learned about IFYM and I was like paying attention, like I learned a lot about Lane Norton and Lyle McDonald and mm-hmm. that type of diet stuff. I'm like, why would anybody diet in any other way? This is the way. Like mm-hmm. I remember I used to think that way, but I don't know when I made the switch into trying to be.
I think for me, I'm a fucking asshole in some ways. I literally think in my brain that I have a better way. So I hear stuff that people say and I'm like, I'm not going to do West Side. I'm not even like none of that. Like when I like started lifting out here, I was like, I'm going to adopt a lot of Louis stuff, but I'm going to make it better. Mm. Like I thought, like I just think that way. And I know that I didn't like Louis fucking RIP. Like he fucking killed it and I'll never compare to anything he did in strength. But I was always like, you know what? I'm going to find my own way. And mm-hmm. I'm going to make my way work really, really well for me. So I kind of just think that way. Even with Ben Patrick, I'm like, Ben knows some shit, but I've been around forever. I've been dragging that fucking sled for 20 plus years. Like, Ben, let me show you this. Let me show you that. And I still am open to like learning more.
Yeah.
I always want to learn more because I know that that will advance me and advance everybody around me. So I'm always excited to learn more. But a lot of times I'll watch someone do something or I'll hear something and it will sound similar to something else I heard. And I'm like, I'm going to add to that because that's fucking genius. I really like that a lot. But I wonder if I mix it with this other thing I heard of the other day, what's going to happen?
And the only reason why you're able to think that way is because you're paying attention, and we're paying attention to so many things. So when we see something that somebody's doing, we'd be like, oh, that's like what Goda's doing, right? That's what David Weck is. That's what Ben is. That's what Naughty's kind of doing over here. Like, we're
excited for David Weck.
I'm excited for David Weck.
He's going to fucking blow our minds, I think.
Yeah. But the reason why we're able, like, I think everyone, especially people that listen to this show, it's Ben Greenfield kind of mentioned borrowing. I think his episode might come out before this one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it will.
He mentioned the idea of borrowing. And just like, because now what he's doing is he's seeing all these different things and he's taking the things that he wants to add into his personal system, and he's just not using the things that doesn't, right? I just like, it's the same thing, and I phrase it like adopt and improve. That's what you just mentioned, Mark. Adopt an idea and improve upon it for yourself, because I think everyone, whenever you pick something up and you try something, it's going to become a part of you to an extent. It's a part of your own personal system. Like, I played soccer for 15 years. Now I can still fucking juggle a soccer ball and move around. That's part of what I do, even though I haven't done it in years. It's in my system, my personal system. So take a look at all of these things. Try aspects of it. Add it into what you do so you can become the best, strongest version of yourself. That's all. I would stray away from just going into, you know what? No, I can't say you shouldn't go into one thing and believe it in and do it, because if you're a power lifter or you're a bodybuilder, that's your sport. Focus on your sport. I get it.
But yeah, sometimes it helps to double down. And then you find out maybe that wasn't the right way.
Maybe it wasn't the right way. But
or maybe it was.
Maybe it was. But this is the thing. Like, my goal personally is moving better and becoming the strongest version of myself. The strongest version of myself doesn't mean I deadlift 800 pounds. The strongest version of myself means I'm moving without pain. I'm able to show any type of, anything I want my body to be able to do, I'm going to be able to do it. And I don't want any type of dysfunction as I get older and older and older. That's the strongest version of myself. That doesn't mean I'll be able to bench 405. That's not what that means. But that means that my body is going to literally be the best mover it possibly can be, which is why I'm taking a look at all these things and I'm adopting and I'm trying to improve upon it for myself.
Yeah. And that's why in a previous episode, I had said, like, don't write off another camp because they said something bad about your camp or a camp that you actually, I mean, well, I'm just using camps, but you shouldn't be in any camp, period. Because, like, when some of the Goda guys says something, you're just like, they're fucking idiots. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. But then you see, you know, Corey Schlesinger, and you're just like, oh, that's pretty dope. But, oh, I already wrote that off. Like, I can't like him now. Or, like, Mark's talking about, like, keto and fasting. That's fucking, that's bullshit. But then Lane Norton's like, actually, yeah, fasting can be a way to limit your caloric intake. And but, oh, fuck. Now do I have to dislike Lane Norton, who I've been following for years?
Nope.
No, of course not. But it's like, dude, like, just take exactly what you said. Borrow the good shit and then just fucking improve.
Corey Schlesinger is such a professional. Like, because he came on here and he was just, I'm sure he has his own beliefs, but he didn't really, he just talked about all the different things that he loves to do and all the different things, all the different ways that he likes to incorporate. He gave his point of view. He talked a lot about, like, microdosing workouts for his athletes and stuff like that. But he wasn't like we box squat all the time and we only do this. We only bench squat and deadlift, or I only subscribe to this or that. He like what did he implement? He fucking sounded like he implemented everything. We utilize everything. And I think that's amazing. And especially, like, when you're an NBA strength coach, why not? Because you have access. Some people will kind of scoff at some of the stuff that some of these pro athletes will do. They'll lift on some of these machines, and the machines, like, rather than, like, have a weight associated to it, it shows your watts or it shows your max output. Well, it does that so it's competitive with the next person, and so that they can kind of compete against each other. And because, let's just face it, like, how many NBA players are there that can squat 405? I would be surprised if like even like 30% of them could figure that out. They're not designed. They're tall, extremely athletic athletes that are far more athletic than like 99.9% of the population could ever even possibly imagine. They just so happen to like not be proficient at doing a squat with weight on their back that way. So it's like, well, let's find a way to train their legs, because it's still important that they train their legs for recovery from the games, to be able to jump, to be able to express all the things they're trying to express on the court. So why not think of every possible scenario that you can? So I really like Corey Schlesinger a lot for I learned a lot from that. I thought that was really – I thought he was very classy and just saying like, look, man, I'm going to try to absorb from everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this – what like fitness and health is such a different ballgame in terms of maybe belief systems than society, right? Like – for example, we can all agree on the idea that people shouldn't steal, right? Like that is a truth. You shouldn't steal from other people. Maybe there's nuances. If they took something from you, well, you're not, they stole from you, so you need to take it back. So no, people shouldn't steal. There's no nuances to stealing. But when it comes to health, when it comes to fitness, it's not good to have such staunch beliefs about movement practices, about nutrition. Like you can be rigid in your belief that people shouldn't steal and people should tell the truth. It's good to have rigidity within those beliefs. It's not good to have rigidity in the belief that the ketogenic diet is the only way to lose weight and become healthy. It's not good to be so rigid, because there are different types of people that respond differently to a diet like that. There are different people that thrive on other types of diets. So this is a realm where like many belief systems and many different protocols have different benefits for different people. Mm-hmm. So you can't go up even a vegan. And as much as I know carnivores will be like, but we know that, you know, there's things that they're missing in their diet because they're not eating meat. Understood. But they can still do certain things, so they can still have a healthy lifestyle for what they're seeking. Okay. So that's why even deeper when it comes to movement practices, this is the last place that you want to have a staunch belief of that your bodybuilding, powerlifting, functional patterns, GOTA, ATG way is the right way, because there's so many different systems for being able to get to a certain place. And we got to also realize everybody does have a different starting point and everybody has a different goal. Mm-hmm. For an individual who's trying to become a world champion or just a very competitive or a strong powerlifter, maybe going down the path of doing a bunch of what GOTA stuff doesn't help them, because actually in GOTA, you're not supposed to lift, right? But there could be some additions from GOTA that would be good for their movement. Mm-hmm. But like you're not going to be a GOTA person, right? You get what I'm saying? Like you should try to shed this idea of this is the correct way to do things. You need to shed that, and you need to be open. Because like if a powerlifter adds things from ATG, there's going to be benefit for them. Mm-hmm. If they add things from functional patterns, there's going to be benefit for them. Like get out of putting yourself, like we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, don't put yourself in a box of your own creation. Because that's what a lot of people are doing when they say, I'm part of this tribe. You've legitimately boxed yourself into the beliefs and practices of that tribe. And now when anybody else brings something to you, if it is beneficial, you're not going to listen, because this is your tribe and you don't do anything else.
We do it from like the time we're born. You know, we do it with race. We do it with sex. We do it with everything. Mm-hmm. And then you're attached to that. I mean, I've mentioned this many times on the show. I'll talk to somebody about their diet and I'll say, hey, like, you ever thought about like cutting back on carbohydrates? Because sometimes we have a tendency to overeat things that have carbohydrates and fat. And maybe they'll say, I can't do that. I'm Italian. Yeah. And you're like, yeah. And then, but I'll hear the same thing from someone who's Chinese. I'll hear the same thing from someone who's Mexican. Not that they all say they're Italian. They use, they use their ethnicity, kind of as a thing. Cause they're like, well, these are the, you know, we eat some of these types of foods all the time.
Yeah.
And I understand and I get it. But again, why, just because you grew up a particular way eating certain foods, I don't know if you're aware, but now you're an adult and you can actually go and purchase your own food. And you could, with Mexican food, you could cut out some of the things that are maybe keeping you or maybe holding you to staying overweight. Whatever, like we don't have to be like stuck in these ideals that we've had from the time we were born. But it's hard to like, it can be difficult to get yourself out of those things because you're like, this is all I know. This is the way I grew up.
And it's very comfortable to be part of a group.
What I was going to say.
Go for it.
No, I mean, you're already there, but like, you know, we all want to be a part of something and usually a part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but like we love to argue. So somebody has an Android and I see that green text bubble come up and I'm just like, come on, man.
This motherfucker like, right
give
here.
Give me a you fucking
poor
break.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, broke ass motherfucker.
Like this motherfucker. But you see what I mean?
You ruined
like,
the whole group chat.
They really fucking do. And it's like, what did you film this on? A fucking potato? Like you can't see shit and they can't even send themselves shit. Like it's so bad.
Oh God.
Point made, right? Yeah. We get on these teams because it's just like, well, we're all iPhone guys. It's like, yeah, fucking Androids are stupid, but it's like they're not, but it's just we're on the right team.
And it's dangerous because when you're on a team, the only people that you really listen to are people who are on your team. And once somebody brings something else,
yeah.
Well, they're not on my team. They're against me. Mm-hmm. Fuck your team. Yeah. Like it's
not
always,
only do they have different views, but they want mine to, you know, mean less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
I love fitness.
Get up off teams. I hate that shit.
It's so hard or interesting to like think about. Like there's somebody in another part of the world with the exact same issues that you have.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through them right now. Maybe some people are figuring them out. There's somebody that's like very similar to you. Like we just lose sight of all that. Like you boil things down. People are sad, mad, happy, depressed, anxious, joyful, you know. Like there's just only so many things that you can like experience as a human being, and they're all similar. It doesn't matter what language you speak or where you're from or how old you are or how, you know, or if you're super young, it's all very similar. And we lose sight of so many of these things. And I think that that's part of the reason why we do get attached to something, because it is more comfortable. You're like, if I attach myself to this, then I don't have to like worry about the world being so goddamn big and scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of go along with the flow of some of the stuff that we're talking about. I just wanted to point out that Andrew Huberman had on Andy Galpin.
I can't wait to listen to
it. And I started listening to some of it and it's really, really good. But like, I don't mind promoting like other stuff on here. I want to, you know, I hope that people listen to, you know, we mention other podcasts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people just listening to our stuff and only getting ideas from the three of us or occasionally when we have a guest on. That's cool if they want to listen to every episode that we have. Like we'll all be excited about that.
Oh, absolutely.
But I hope everyone listening, I hope you expand and add somebody else, man. Fucking go subscribe to another one. Like check out some of these things that people are offering. I've learned so much from Lex Friedman and Joe Rogan and people like Andy Galpin and Andrew Huberman. I mean, man, it's a big old world out there. Don't be afraid to learn from other people. And that way you don't get kind of sucked into having like the same beliefs as everybody else, you know?
Absolutely. It's a sleeper podcast, but Matt Walker has his podcast on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Episodes are nice and short and it's a great education. He has like episodes on caffeine and sleep, alcohol and sleep, melatonin, like, and they're like 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. You guys can get this great information and you know how much we care about sleep on that. So check that out. Peter Tia's Drive podcast. Yep. He has a lot of really cool guests on there.
Great guests on there.
Yeah. Ben Patrick has his own podcast now. So like, no, there's a lot of really amazing like people out there. Just the one thing, this is the one thing that I listen for when I listen to people. Number one, I try to truly learn from them. But number two, I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to ask people questions here, because when we're finally able to ask people questions, it gives me an idea of how open of an individual are you to being wrong? Because it lets me understand if I'm asking them certain questions and they're like really staunch and they're not open, like it'll give me an idea of like, maybe you don't really revise your shit that much. Like, I'm gonna take from you. Trust me, I'm gonna learn from you. I'm gonna do this from you. But like, if their shit ends up being the gospel, I have little red flags that go in the back of my head that I'm just like, be skeptical. Take, try, and just be skeptical. So that's what I'd say when you listen to people. I can't tell you guys what you should do. All I can say is for myself, I don't want to be tribalistic. I don't want to box myself in or limit myself mm-hmm. to what I can do and the things that I can try to achieve, right? So because of that, I'm not going to also try to listen to somebody who is very limiting in terms of the things that they do and say and practice.
In jiu-jitsu, you have to like make stuff yours, right? Like when someone shows you something, because our body types are so different and you're going to roll with another athlete in just a completely different way. Mm-hmm. So when someone shows you something, you're like, okay, that was pretty cool. But like how, like maybe that doesn't even fit into my game, but I see like I could utilize that this way. Mm-hmm. And maybe the way you do it's going to be different, right?
Absolutely. Because every athlete has different levels of mobility, different ability to move, right? If you have the same ability to move as that athlete, great. But for some reason, if you're much tighter, maybe you might have to do an adjusted version of the movement so it can fit into what you do, your game, and your personal ability. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have to, every movement, you have to make it yours somehow because everybody's working with different machinery. So that's the same way I look at a lot of these movement practices. Like there are going to be some things that I might just not be able to do.
Same thing with books you read and stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. maybe it's not even your goal to own like a yacht, but maybe you're reading a book about a dude that owns a fucking yacht, right? Like you're going to take some of these principles and ideas and have them be your own.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why we're fortunate enough just to be able to continue to learn. We learn and we put forward, but never stop learning.
Damn. We ran out of time. Look.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ran out of time a minute ago. How long is this podcast?
Half an hour ago, you ran out of time.
An hour ago. Yeah. Guys, comment down below. Let us know what's some new shit that you're learning? What other podcasts do you guys enjoy? Maybe also guests you guys think we should have on. I'm very excited for Naughty. Naughty. It's not mm-hmm. say his name. He's
naughty,
little,
nice.
Naughty's a little naughty.
Let us know also like you know how you've overcome injuries or gotten around injuries. Maybe you guys have some other people that you think we should have on the show. You know, that's kind of how we ended up talking to some of the Gota people. And I think mm-hmm. the cool thing is it's like whether some of these people, whether you agree or disagree with some of the people that are coming up on the show, it's just going to lead us to more great people.
Yeah.
So that's what it does. That's what happens. I had a guy who was like basically screaming at me to get the Gota guys on the show. And that's how it happened. He was like, I can't believe you have some of these other people on the show. They're not like expressing all of that can be, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, cool. So I'll fucking have them on the show. Here you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now it's been helping Andrew. It's been helping me a lot. And I know a lot of people are getting a lot of great benefits from it.
I've taken some concepts.
There you go. Yeah. And I know that, you know, we're going to notice all the overlap, you know, when we have David Weck here and a bunch of other people. And I know when we have Graham Tuttle back here again, I know that like he shares a lot in common with those guys as well. Mm-hmm. Andrew, take us on out of here.
Yeah. And real quick, that's what I love about like our position. Like we're not
the 69 position.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you do that with three?
Oh, I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like,
actually, I get how I know exactly how it's done.
Well, mm-hmm. can you guys demonstrate with three hands?
Yeah.
Like, you
I
know,
only
like,
work with four people.
Yes, I think that it's,
well, if you're in a triangle, one second. Go on, Andrew.
Well, okay, while you're messing with that, what I was going to say is like we didn't box ourselves in so we can have all these different people on. Oh, you're going to get Black Panther in there too?
No, actually, I ain't going to do that.
Yeah,
to him.
Dude.
He deserves more respect.
I mean, you could have Marky Moo in there because that makes
more It only
more
works
sense.
With four people.
Yeah, see, it doesn't. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, okay.
So like a 169?
How did we get here and why the fuck are we doing
69
this?
Times four, quick.
I can't. And Seema can.
276?
I don't know.
No, that's wrong.
I wouldn't know.
Let me see.
How am I supposed to know? I'm going to wait for this.
I think it's like 276.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either 276 or like 8,000. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
it's
no,
somewhere
that's
in there.
Right. Hey!
There you go.
Quick maths!
All right. Ayo. For the quick math, make sure you guys hit the like button because that was pretty impressive in my opinion. And yeah, like they said, just drop some comments down below. Let us know what you guys are working on and subscribe. If you guys are not subscribed, turn on all the bell notifications. Follow the podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at MB Power Project. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
And Discord and Reddit, link in the bio. Andrew probably said that, but I probably didn't hear it.
Nope, I didn't.
It's in the bio. Check us out. We have a community there. At Seema Yin Yang on Instagram and YouTube. At Seema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Mark.
I'm Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later. Bye.